Welcome back to the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd Barnes.
Me, Jake Keane. Woo!
And we have a very, very special guest in with us today, Mr. David Peace. I didn't know if you were going to jump in.
I was like, I'll let you say my name because I say it weirdly. So
I
literally picked a stage name that nobody can say, which is great.
David Peace, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I always say David Peace, and then people are like, what? What? I'm like, it's not a great stage name when like nobody knows what I'm saying.
I accidentally call you a few times David Pierce because.
Yeah, people do that.
The house that I live in, I think the old people, not the old people, the people who used to live here, their surnames were Pierce, and it's always like on my mind. So I've said it by accident a few times. But for everyone that doesn't know you, hello, welcome to the Black Art Podcast. David is a, you are a, well, how would you describe yourself, your style of magic, or mentalism?
It's like I do a, like on stage, I'm purely mentalism. And then in close up, I do mix of magic and mentalism, depending on the environment. I'm trying to get more and more mentalist close up stuff. But when you're gigging at like I'm doing a wedding next week while the band's playing. So like mentalism's just not going to happen for that time. So it's like ambitious character routine all day long. It's definitely a mix. I see myself more as a mentalist and I veer that way. And I do. Tomorrow I'm doing a tarot reading gig for a company and those sort of things. So that's like
A tarot reading gig.
Yeah, so I'm just sitting on a table doing tarot reading for 2 hours, which is it'll probably be awesome. 4 hours.
Yeah, I have an extreme kinship whenever you post photos of your little table set up, David, because you're into that good spooky shit like me.
Yeah, I have this thing. It's like a fortune teller light up thing, and it's a Halloween decoration I got from TK Maxx last year. Yeah. Like I bring it out to all gigs. I'm like, I bought so much Halloween stuff this year just for actually decorating my house.
I'm a little bit like stunned. I didn't know. Maybe I did. I don't feel like I've ever heard of a tarot gig before. Like I've heard of tarot readers, and I know that like psychics go and do like shows. Like, you know, psychic Sally James, what's her name? I don't know.
Yeah.
But to be booked to do a like close-up tarot stuff, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I've done a few like birthday parties, like 30ths and stuff like that, where people just have me in a room. And now it's like, tomorrow I'm doing a company's Halloween party. So I'm just going to choose. It'll be just Pam and tarot. But I very much like, you know, it's not psychic. These are images that are things that have lived throughout time that people relate to in those sort of ways. But the first, I did the first one. I learned to do it during the pandemic. And then the first gig I got, it was like a 30th birthday party. I got there and was like, this is going to be fine. And then the first person came in and I was going to do the reading. And I was like, okay, what's your question that you want to know the answer to? And she was like, I'm an alcoholic and my kids are being taken off me and I don't know what to do. It's just like,
stop drinking.
First gig, first person is like, oh yeah, let's keep it light to begin with. But everybody else then was just like, should I go on holiday? But I was like, the first person was like the heaviest shit.
That's a great first gig. Well, what did you say in that situation? Like,
I gave her the cards actually worked out quite well. In like the meanings and that sort of stuff. I think like the devil came up, which can be about addiction and that sort of stuff, which was cool. And then I just wrote down on a billet and told her to hold on to it. And it was just there, you know what you need to do. Cause it's like, stop drinking. You know what you need to do. And that sort of stuff. Cause like she was even saying it herself that like, she knows she needs to do it, but she just thinks on like, at that situation, you have to just imagine the person's one of your best friends and to tell them the same thing you tell your friends. That sort of
I mean, I'm a recovered alcoholic or in recovery of alcoholism. I feel like I can make the joke, but for me, if it was my best friend, I would say something heinous.
Yeah. Maybe not your best friend, because you just tell him like, you go really bad, get kicked out and cancelled very quickly.
Do you know what I love about, I don't know, personally, I've been obsessed with this a lot lately, the last like year, and I know Jake has sort of been into it as well, and sort of maybe got me into it, but there's a blurring of the lines when it comes to palmistry and tarot readings. I think maybe Jake, you may focus on it more than I have, but where it is kind of real, sometimes you'll pick up something about someone and you will nail it about them based off what your intuition, so to speak, is.
Yeah.
And I love that because there's like you'd say to them, it's not real, but you know, like David Blaine is a good personification of this, where he puts like the sword through his arm or he swallows the frogs. And in the midst of that, he'll do other conjuring illusions. And it's and because he blurs that line, everything sort of has more conviction, you know? And do you find that when you form tarot, even though you tell them it's not real?
Yeah, because it's like the way I kind of tell it is that it's, I learned it from Luke Jermaine had talking tarot on Facebook, and I was going through the cards, and he had similar sort of stuff that you say. And it's kind of like any art you can look at and discover things about yourself. If you look at a painting, and it's like treat this as like we're walking through a museum and we're going to be looking at different art, and you see different things about yourself in it, and I'll see different things about it, and that sort of stuff. And sometimes you're giving a reading and you're like, oh my God, like these cards are exactly what is the answer to their question, and you can like sometimes get spooky, but then in your own head I'm like, okay, let's swap this card for that card, okay, it still works, so it's just we're just getting through it. It's just the cards have like the meanings can relate to a lot of things and like the order of them. But I like at the end of the day, especially with the tarot, there's so much detail in the art that I always ask them before I tell them the meanings, just look at the images and tell me what stands out to you, because you don't want to taint their view of what they see. And like they're you'll get so much detail from them, and you can learn stuff and use that then going on yourself. But I find it really fascinating to do, especially when it's like just quick readings just to get people. And then if you have some people who are like, tell me exactly what's happening in my future, it's like, okay, I'm about to go into a one ahead routine, because they want miracles. That's not what I'm doing here with the tarot. So it's always a little stack of bullets beside you just in case you need to
make it more. I think tarot for it's such a breath of fresh air. It's like a really, really good break in between things, because you get to do that jazzing, and you get to let them do half the work by looking at something and saying, like, what does that? How does this make you feel? And there's meanings to certain cards that don't actually mean what the card supposedly means, but I've still carried on using them because someone responded well, or because that was what someone saw in it. I think, like, you know, the fool card, I remember a friend who I was given just like a really casual reading to it. The fool card was at the start, and they were talking about like, oh, so that's like, it's like the start of the journey. And I was like, well, yeah, that is what it kind of means. But then they went off on this long spiel to just telling me themselves about how I do kind of relate to that, because you start something and you're infantile, you're not really sure about where you're going. And spent about 5 minutes telling me what they saw in this card, and I was like, yeah, I'll steal that for next time.
Yeah, it's great. I find that I have my own sort of meaning for the magician card, because it's all about like you create as you speak. But for me, a magician represents someone who is like doing a lot of work behind the scenes that nobody's aware of. So I always use that to refer to someone who, like, your friends might look at you and say you were an overnight success, but they don't know all the work that went in behind the scenes. Because, like, that is what a magician is. Like, people go, oh my God, you just did magic, but you don't know the, like, all the hours of, like, in the room my own, or like that, the Justin Willman sketch that he has on YouTube where he, like, showed up the day before and put flash paper into the napkin and all this sort of, like, we work harder than people think anyone would for a stupid magic trick. That's the secret.
I have two questions. The second's a bit cheeky, so I'll ask it in a bit. But how do you find, do you ever transition going from forming tarot and then into magic? Do you, and if you do or have done that, do you find that there's any negative like effects?
I find like I if I'm doing it, I switch into mentalism more than I do like classic magic. So like I was at I was doing tarot at a wedding drinks reception during the summer, and they'd set me up in a room inside, but it was such a nice day. Everyone was outside, so nobody was coming up to me. So I just started going outside and doing a bit of mentalism, a bit billet work. And then I had bought the tarot cards with me and would do like a cut deeper force with the tarot cards. You can do past, present, and future and stuff like that, which can work out, and then you can kind of read them to predict their future and things. So there's quite a lot of stuff you can do with the tarot cards close up, but then like I haven't gone from like tarot into doing like I'm going to do a coin routine or anything like that. Maybe some card stuff if I want really to distinguish it, but like my character is a bit of someone who, like my internal monologue is someone who became obsessed with scams. And then they saw like the psychic stuff as the ultimate scam, so became fascinated with that. So that's why I can do mentalism, but then I'm also doing like gambling demonstrations and that sort of stuff, because that's like the connection I have with them together to justify it to myself, why I'm like reading someone's mind and then 2 minutes later doing ambitious card reading.
Do you ever find that if you approach the you start talking about like tarot or readings and you say it's all like a scam, do you ever get anyone offended by that?
it's I tend to judge it by like the person. So there's some people like if they're a skeptic, I'll be more open about like, oh, the thing. But like with the tarot reading, I always say it's a bit of a it's like it's a personality reading. It's I'm reading the person more than anything else, and that's what all people do. And then it's only when I get into like talking about psychic mediums talking to the dead that I might go more hard on like these people stealing people's money. Because it's like if you're just doing a simple palm reading, it's one thing. If you're doing like an hour long thing and telling giving them financial and medical advice, it crosses the line. But it's kind of most readers that I've met and stuff tend to just keep a very high level. So with the tarot stuff, I'm like it's thing of like I find most people are scared when you start doing tarot and they're worried about it. So by saying that it's not anything mystical or like dark arts, it's just images that have relate to people throughout time, and that's why they stick around. It kind of keeps the mysticism a bit that these images have that power over people, but also being like they're not witchcraft.
I'm with you. Second question I had then is, I've never had a tarot reading, and I have a deck of tarot cards to my right. Would you like just if I like got them out, could you like do me an example of like one card reading or something real quick?
Pick any.
Oh, really?
Take
You
the
can tell
cards.
me no, by the way, because I know I'm putting you on the spot. That's why I know it's a bit cheeky.
Pick a
Like,
card, give it a mix up.
okay,
I'll do
so
a
found
little
the
quick.
number's
Wizard
never
never asked
quit.
me for a tarot reading.
Sorry, but we have a professional here, Jake. Again, chat.
Ooh, that's
I'm kidding,
a
Jake.
fancy carrying case for your
Is it my friend
tarot cards.
Javier gave them to me? So I don't know what there is. It's like,
There's 22 majors are the ones that I tend to stick with, the major arcana.
is
So,
that the
like,
bigger pack then, or is
no,
this 22 me?
the smaller packs are 22.
Jake is shaking his head like an absolute idiot. Okay, I've got them right here.
So just give them a
Jake.
mix up yourself and stuff whenever you're happy.
Oh, Jake, I feel really bad if I've offended you. I didn't mean it. I was only joking. It's just I'm putting David on the spot because he was just right here. I love you,
No, Lloyd, it's fine.
Yeah, it's a,
Jake.
what's the top card? We can go with that one if you're happy with it, or if you can pick a random one.
This is La Passe.
I
La
say, oh yeah,
Passe.
so that I think that one's the High Priestess, I think. So I use mine in English.
Apparently, these are as close to the original depiction drawings
those
as
ones. I've got
possible.
a lot of Rider-Waite ones, so they're
Yeah.
Get it. I'm gonna get out
And
my phone just to make sure I have the right card so that my French doesn't let me down.
yeah, it's the Pape say is the High Priestess in a Marseille de Tarot.
Because the High Priestess is someone who I always look at as someone who people come to for advice. You can see they've got the Book of Knowledge, in their hands. But that image. In the image, you can see that their cloak kind of covers a bit of the book, so they're quite protective of the knowledge, and that's why people will come to them. So I'd say you're the type of person, based off that card coming to you, is that you're the type of person that your friends will come to for advice and might ask you to give them advice, and they'll take it. And sometimes you might get frustrated when you give them the advice that you know will help them, but they don't take it. But I think the bigger frustration for you is you're the person who doesn't take your own advice. Well, you would give someone else the sort of advice and they'll take it and they'll be successful, but then you'll be in the same situation and you don't trust your own judgment enough to follow through with it and take your own advice. So that is where the High Priestess would really struggle. And that's where for you should look at trusting your own intuition, your own gut, because the people around you trust it, so you should trust them all yourself.
That feels fucking spookishly accurate. That feels crazy accurate.
And that only took like 1 week of stalking you in Wales. Like, it's just.
I am a habitual advice giver, yet I do not take my own advice. But I guess that is so. Is that's just like appeals to everyone, right? That's like a
Can appeal to a
mindset
lot of
or.
people. Like, you can kind of look at it and look at people. Like, because even for yourself, you're like you are someone who teaches people magic. So people will come to you, even if it's not in the personal life, people come to you for advice on magic moves. So I know that will hit. And then also, a lot of people don't take their own advice. Like, that's quite common that people don't take their own advice. And like, it's the whole thing of like, you know
Practicing
what the solution
preaching.
is and you don't do it. But then also like you're watching the person's reaction to it, and if they're going, not really, you can kind of tilt it into maybe there's a high priestess in their life that they need to find and go to for advice and that sort of stuff. So
well,
whether
let's
it's
try
yourself,
this then, if we can. If I cut to a different card, and this time I will be the person that doesn't take the advice. Or doesn't. I'm going to disagree a little bit initially with your feedback, okay? So I've got La Luna.
The moon.
The moon.
So the moon is all about illusion, which is interesting on the Black Air podcast. Because have you ever gone to a city where you arrive at night, and then when you wake up next morning, you don't recognize anything because everything looks different? So at night, things look different, look scarier. So you see the shadow of a dog, and you might see it. You might think it's a wolf, or it's bigger, or the shadow of a tree on your window looks like a monster. So the nighttime can be quite things. So I get the sense with that there is an illusion that's affecting you, that you need the light to come into to shine
not
it up.
Really.
Exactly. You see, you're not even aware of the illusion. That's how much it's affecting you. And you really need to look into yourself and see where there is something that is being kept from you. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but if we'd done this based on a question, I'd be able to angle it more into what the solution would be. But really what you need to do is search for the light in your life and stay away from the darkness. Because sometimes when you suck into the darkness too much, the light can seem forever away, but if you go towards the light, everything will become clearer and you'll see the solution to your problem.
Oh my God. Wow. You're a fucking wordsmith. Jesus Christ.
The gift of the gab from Ireland. Like.
Yeah, totally. I want Jake to do it now with the gift of the scouts.
No chance, buddy. You're not allowed. You're
Jake,
not allowed
I've
to read from me anymore.
The hermit. Why are you laughing at me already?
A hermit for the guy who won't leave his house.
Fuck it, that's too accurate.
It's the I don't have to say a thing. The moon card is actually a really gorgeous card. I love the dog and the wolf and the crayfish on it. Beautiful. I say that this is an audio podcast, so apologies to anyone who's
Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
Yeah, like the differences, like a lot, the Marseille deck and the Rider Waite have like a lot of similarities, but then some differences. But the main themes, like that's the moon and my one in the Rider Waite, which is similar but slight differences, which is you can play into as well. Or even if I do the Tarot of the Cat.
Is the cat one of them? So is there a place then that I could sort of learn? Because just, I'm guessing that just like from the moon tarot alone, you can, it sort of starts to just tell you what to say in a way, like, oh, there's illusion, you see it, there's terror, you see the dog, the shadow you think is the wolf. Like, did you learn that from a source anywhere?
I learned it from Luke Jermaine's Facebook group to begin with. And then I just went on YouTube and started looking up meanings of playing cards and that sort of stuff. And then also I spent a lot of time, and it's kind of like what Luke Jermaine kind of tells you to do to begin with, is just take the card, look at it, and just write down what you see, what stands out to you in the image, what do you get any feelings for it? Does it have any sort of message to you? Like, what does the moon mean to you? Like, some people, the moon's a positive, other people it's a negative, and it's kind of your own interpretation, because that's where it's like, you're really relying on your own intuition when you're doing it. If you're just reading off exactly what the book says the card means, it's very hard to get into your own intuition then without just sticking solely to that. Because that's something I've struggled with palm reading. Because I got, I think it's over my shoulder, it's a palm reading for magicians years ago. And I learned that. And then it's quite a basic high level palm reading thing, but it's great for some routines. So you do that, and then... But then I had two people whose palms were very similar based on like the main lines, and they were sitting next to each other. And it's like, you also are someone who sees home as where you grew up in and not where you currently are. You also are quite a creative person. And you're just like, oh, Jesus, I need to like just start improving it. It's a great routine I do actually with palm reading. That can be quite fun. It's great. It's like, no props, nothing on you type thing. If you get a five up, ask someone to get five objects, lay them out. You're going to do a five object equivocate, which is quite straightforward.
Okay, so five. I'm going to do it right now. I got AirPods, a pen, a deck of cards, my phone, and tea candle.
I'm gonna write something down. But before I write something down, I need to get to know a bit more about you, Lloyd. So can I see your palm if you just hold it up there for a second? That's interesting. If you see there's like the headline goes all the way across your palm, which is a sign of creativity. So I say you're an above average creative person, and then there's your lifeline, which is nice and strong, nothing to worry about there. You're not about to drop dead. But they actually connect
Don't
quite.
say that.
They connect quite early, which is it's the sort of person that I'd say you're quite a nostalgic person. I'd say look at old maybe family photos, and especially with your kid now, you might still look back to when he was a baby and that sort of stuff. And what's very interesting is you put your fingers out completely separated. An introvert would have their fingers together, and an extrovert would have them separated. Someone who's in the middle a lot that I see is someone who'd start with their fingers together and open up as you talk to them, or vice versa. When you hit a nerve, they start closing their fingers, which is quite interesting. So I think I've a quick idea about you. So if you put down your hand dial, I'm just going to write something down. So I'll write down that. Right. There's five objects in a line. If you push any two of them forward. Are you sure you want to change your mind?
No, I'm sure.
Okay, hold
I pushed
one.
forward the candle and the air parts, by the way.
Yeah, so hold one of them in your left hand, one of them in your right hand of the candle and the AirPod. You
I put
can't
the
do it now because
AirPods in
I'm
my
here.
left hand, the AirPods in my right hand.
If you were going to hand me one of them, which one would you hand me?
The candle.
Are you sure you want to change your mind?
I'm sure.
Because later on, you're going to be lying in bed wondering what would happen if you changed your mind. Last chance, happy?
Yeah, happy.
So you'd hand me the candle, or I called it a tea light, and I wrote down. Tea light, yay. Equivocate. So I used to do that all the time. And then one time somebody asked me, what about my palm made you think I picked that object? And I was like, that's a very good question. So I luckily said they were an extrovert and predicted the item that was closest to me. So I said, because you're an extrovert, I predicted the item that was furthest away from you because you're an outgoing person. So now anytime I do it, if I'm doing it, someone who say is an introvert, I do it the item closest to them. If they're an extrovert, I says furthest away from them. Or if I say there's someone in the middle, I go for the item in the middle. That way you have justification to backtrack if they ask you afterwards, what about my palm made you think I'd go for that item? So there you had them in a cluster and the candle was closest to the camera. So I went with that one.
Holy potato chips.
I
This
kind of give
is
the
already the best
justification.
episode ever.
It's such a simple routine. It's like it's one of those things where it's an EDC and you don't have to carry anything on you. You just need to write something down.
What type of reactions do you get from that?
It's quite strong when you're doing it. It's especially because you can like I can do like 5, 10 minutes of palm reading before that thing, so it really builds it up. And then like the people are just like mess their heads. Like it's just a simple like magician show. It's a equivocate routine. And then like some people say I will be holding and stuff like that, but then it's like you read it out or I read it out and I don't like that stuff. So I just write down
Yeah.
what the thing is and just justify that this was the selection before I do the reveal, rather than having that mess of I wrote I will be holding, but you read it even though I'm holding something too. It's just like no, I'm just gonna write down candle or whatever the item is.
It does merge really well with like kind of free will routines though, as like a framing device.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you do a routine like that, it kind of comes from nowhere unless you've got a decent justification to do it. And having it be part of a reading is always that's the way I like to do that stuff too, man.
Yeah, because the thing of like, I'm going to make a prediction of decisions you're going to make, but first I need to know about you. Can I see your palm? And if you haven't done anything like mystically or that sort of way yet, and like you might have done a couple of card tricks or your normal magic, and next thing you ask someone to see their palm to get to know them, there's something it changes the vibe very quickly. Because they're like, okay, and like they present their palm to you, and you can just give a. It can be as detailed as quick as you want.
What are the like devices that like Jake showed me before? I spoke about on this podcast is to get in like if you're gonna go into like a mentalism type effect, is to like get into them into an agreement with them. You say like, are you happy? Are you comfortable? To get into this, you know. And we even talked about having an actual physical contract drawn up before. And it's a nice way to like change that vibe immediately from fun and jokes to. Okay, now this is getting serious.
Be so tempted to write the contract in like friction pen, except for a few letters,
Oh,
and the whole
dude,
contract vanishes.
I've got the design for it on a playing card, and because we were talking about it a while back, and I wanted to do it as kind of a mentalist's insurance card, with like a little contract and have a few effects with it. But I kind of like it just as a nice. I mean, it's common courtesy, right? You're getting into situations where stuff might come up that they might not want to speak about, so it's common courtesy to ask them, sign this kind of verbal contract with me. Are you comfortable? And asking someone if they're comfortable always instantly makes them a little bit uncomfortable, just the right amount that you want them to be.
Yeah. You could mess with that as well if you wanted to be that, like you influence them of going, like have you use an out to lunch. So the contract says, are you okay for me to read your mind? Blah, 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 sign it here. And then when they look at it after, it says, are you happy for me to read your mind that you're thinking of umbrella? Da, 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 da.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Like,
yeah.
You could make it look like
my mind
you
instantly went to now I have your soul.
He's
an out to lunch.
Yeah. It's nearly dinner time. I think about food after lunch is always on my mind around. Such a great name for a method that is like, yeah. It's gone so past the original like use of it, that name, but it's still out to lunch.
Yeah, I absolutely adore it. I think we've spoke about it before. Lloyd, you've never really used it too much, have you?
Out to lunch?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I do. I was thinking about it earlier. I do absolutely adore it as a method. I've never found that one effect that has made me go, okay, I'm going to do this every single day. But there's some absolute blinders with out to lunch.
It's hard to talk about effects that like exist on the market that the method is out to lunch, because once you say what it is, it's like completely exposing the entire method. It's like, oh, you could do it with this, but it's out to lunch, so everybody now knows how to do it.
But, it's one of those. Sorry.
I think Jay Sankey has a good one.
Oh, is that with a spoon bend?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. It's one of those methods that is so good, but because it can just be the method is understood by magicians in one simple phrase that it gets overlooked. It's like when you say one ahead or paddle move, or like Paul Harris said in his True Astonishment box sets, that like he believes the paddle move is the strongest move in all of magic. And it's literally one of the most overlooked things. And there's so many things which is incredible, like the out to lunch, where if you say it just off the bat, then people are like, meh. But really, when you sit down to think about it, it's gold.
Yeah. One ahead is killer as well with that. It's like people don't use one ahead enough. It's just it's one of those things. Like it can obviously be done badly, like because it's something that's in kids' magic books, but a good one ahead, people just have no way to backtrack it.
There's a fantastic one ahead that Jake put me on to. Oh, actually, I won't say it. I definitely won't say it in this context, because I was just about to name the routine that he directed me to, which is on like a fairly newish release, but that is sort of the method. So I won't say it, but let me remind me to tell you about it later.
Yeah, definitely.
I think me and David may have spoken about it at an earlier point in the private Facebook group when it was released. So I think we were gushing the praises then, which was okay because that's a private Facebook group. But yeah.
There's some great uses for it out there. I think the biggest problem people have is when they go too open and then too close with it, where it's like, think of anything and pick a card. It's like you gotta keep the impossibilities close enough to them.
Yeah, and it, especially when you're building up the questions, you ask this super personal question, you ask this quite a deep question, and then the last question is just something inconsequential like, and what card will you now be forced? It just ruins it so badly.
A five object equivocate can work as a one ahead as well, because you can have them lay out the objects but don't even reference them, but just write down one of them as your one ahead and go from there.
I do. I do the my simplest book test in the world just uses a one ahead, which is just walking out of the room, ask them to pick any book, look at any page and pick any word, come back in, and then you just one ahead a random page number and get the title, the page number and the word. And it's like, oh, I got the page wrong.
I'm sorry, that's gone straight over my head. Explain this to me.
So you just use the one ahead principle, and the information you're getting is a word from a book and the title of the book. And you just write down, like, I just write down any old number for the last question.
So you get it wrong, so it's like a miss?
Yeah.
So Just okay. So would you like do like the quickest like faux performance to me? So hey, I'm Lloyd. Blah, blah, blah. Lloyd, go pick a fucking book. Is it?
Okay, you're opening a book, blah, blah, blah. You've looked through
Okay,
words.
I'm gonna open up a pretend book over here. Okay, I'm hovering, right, looking at it. Yeah, good. Actually, I've got a real book here. Okay, good.
Okay, I don't even think I've got a pen, actually. Wait there. Sorry, this is the most inorganized podcast of all time. Apologies, Dave.
No worries. I've listened, that's what I expected. So, you know, it's kind of. The
Highest compliment
You
you could ever pay us.
bastard.
You're one of our three listeners. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do listen. I do tend to listen to it 3 times. So maybe it's just. We'll see how much it drops this week, but now that I'm here.
No. Okay, Lloyd, you went and picked a random book and you
Yeah, I actually have a little book here.
okay, and you picked any random page and you picked any random word.
Oh, sugar.
And it,
Yes.
okay. The other thing is sometimes I don't tell them to remember the page, so sometimes they just it doesn't matter to them anyway.
Okay.
So I want you to think of the book and don't say
Yep.
anything.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to stick with this answer, okay? And I'm going to put it. I know you can't see it, but it's over here, out of view of the
Okay.
camera. But I'm being fair here. And then I want you to think of the word that you're thinking of. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay. Wait a second. What book did you pick, just for the record?
I picked the Demon Telegraph, a magic magazine from 1946.
Oh. Any good?
Like, I don't know. It's the first time I've ever looked at it, to be honest.
Okay, well, I've chosen you. I've predicted your word here.
Okay.
What word did you choose?
Spectators.
Oh shit! Okay, this is a random one, and you might not really be able to remember it. But think of the page number that you were on.
Okay.
Okay, I mean that seems a bit of a stupid question, I guess. But anyway, okay, page number. There we go. Blah blah blah. And then I've got the book you chose here. I just wrote Demon.
Nice. That's
I didn't
correct.
get the full title, sorry. But I did get the word correct.
Yeah.
And it was on page 77.
No, 16.
Ah, well, you know, that one doesn't really matter.
Do you know what you should do is you should work. That's great, by the way. Is that I've never seen that
That's
before.
really shit. That was, I haven't done it in years.
But you should start on the page and you say you could say like, oh,
Yeah.
we're gonna start backwards on this because we're gonna get progressively harder. There's only about 300 pages on any of these books here. I'm not a fool. So one in 300 chance. What page would you go for? 77? Ah, one in 300. Doesn't matter if I get it wrong.
Yeah.
Now let's go for the book because there's maybe, or maybe do book itself because maybe there's 50 books to choose from,
Yeah.
300 pages on average, and then like 20 million words, you know. So maybe
Yeah.
like, so let's go in like order of least of most impossible. So first of all, book, got it. Page number, got it wrong. Let's go for the hard one, you know, because it kind of makes
Yeah,
sense.
yeah. The literally, sorry, I will stop talking about this in a moment. Literally, the only reason it came about was because I went on a date about 10 years ago, and the date was to go. We went to a big museum in Liverpool and around the library, and it was like a nice little cute coffee date. And we were talking about magic, and she said she'd seen someone do a book test, but it wasn't really, she
Oh.
was like, it wasn't really fair because they were in the same room. They could see what, you know, what they'd chosen. I was like, well, that's not necessarily how it works, but fair enough. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom. You pick any book in the library. And I went to the bathroom and I was like, shit, shit, shit. How do I do this?
Oh, damn. Did it
But then,
fool
but
her?
yeah, of course, bro.
I'm just wondering if you had a secondary, second, if you had four blank billets, right? You write down two, and then for the last one, you've got two in your hand. Maybe it's got all creased in it. I'm just thinking out loud. And so you've done the book name. You now have apparently written down the word, but that's not it. And then the last, and now they say the word out loud, which is for me like spectators. And what you do. I'm not sure if this work well. Maybe you have the word first, and I don't know. But you say because you got so basically you're holding two billets. They think you have one. So now we're going to go for the page number. Think about the page number. Send it to me. You write down spectators. Maybe that would look a little bit silly. But you write down spectators because it's too much of a long word. Oh, this is, instead of that, you have to write out the page
Write
numbers
down
instead
the,
of
yeah.
digits. Yeah. So you write down spectators secretly. And then straight away on the second bullet, maybe the one shifted to the side, you write down the page number. And that if that's one ahead already, then it could just be statically there. But what you can do at this point is immediately, if you fold up the word, immediately show the number. So you're like, oh, was it 16? No, 77, or vice versa. I don't know. Thinking out loud, maybe it's really act. We think it's really stupid. Ignore me.
Yeah, I always say I have trouble with numbers. It's because they're not like it's not a defined concept. It's like numbers are fairly fluid, and obviously there's an infinite amount of them. I have trouble with the numbers, but the words I can get.
There's a way
Oh,
I've
that's
been
good.
messing with one ahead to try and get it clear because I want it to be numbered, but it's something I've been messing with that I'm still not happy with because it revolves around writing upside down, which is
Yeah.
can be difficult. But if you take like any, it'd have to be like a double blank billet, but if you fold it in half and write number one and number two, and then tear it in half, you can then you as you're folding it, you can end up with it being upside down. So then when you put down the pieces, it looks like you're putting down piece number one and then
Yeah.
piece number two, and they're numbered, but you just have to write upside down, which is a pain. That can be
Remind me to show
actually,
you. Yeah.
yeah, I won't mention it, but Lloyd had a really good, like, yeah.
Well, I don't want to talk about it. So I was experimenting with that. I mean, like, you know, the numbers thing, like, that sort of other people experimented with it. But I was experimenting with this one really cool thing, which I should probably look back into again because it does have legs. And I think that's what I did in the video. I can't remember, Jake. But what I did was one billet has a safety pin on it, a paper clip on it. So you have two folded, it's going to be two folded billets in play, you know. One of them, you put a safety pin on. And the other one you don't. And you say, oh, this is the first one. Think about your word. Then I'm going to fold it up. I'm going to put a safety pin on it and leave it here. That lets you know it's the first one. The second one, I'm just going to fold up. And then as you pick them up and switch them, it looks like nothing's happened. But what it is, the second billet has a safety pin in the corner, which you hide, as a paper clip in the corner, which you hide with your thumb. When you fold it up and pick up the other one to switch them around, the safety, the paper clip that you put on the first billet only goes over half of it. So when you turn it around from the back, it's not clipped the whole thing. That makes sense. It sounds a bit silly, but really, you get this amazing, convincing on the fly switch of a clipped billet for a non-clipped billet, and you've only got one half. Both of them have half paper clip on. It's kind of weird to explain, but it's really, really, really convincing.
Yeah, in
And there's some extra
motion,
kickers
super
with like it being
convincing.
flat and not flat and like one tented open and one not. But I'll have to show it to you, man.
Yeah, it sounds very cool. It's one of those things that people get obsessed with. Like, OTT is great. I do that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Just doing a Monty move is handy. Just like just reverse
Yeah.
spread 2 carats and
Yeah.
nobody can follow it. Wine glass is always good. Join the bottom with the wine glasses, you lose track of which one's which as well. It's like, no, not that one. And then it like loses it a bit, but, and any way of just making people lose track, but you've got to keep track of it. So the
Yeah,
book's
I've
better.
definitely done it before where it was just pieces of paper rolled up and thrown into a cup or something.
Yeah, and
And
then
then
afterwards you're like,
they unfold them
Yeah,
themselves.
it's
Yeah,
great. To get into what I had, I've been using this. It's not a shameless self-plug, but it works really well in this context. I've been using Cognito because you attain the information, but they've just literally got no fucking clue that you could know it because
yeah.
they don't really give anything away. And that's really helpful for getting into what I had times I've used it because then it's just an extra layer, more layer. Sometimes it can be a bit overkill, but in some cases it's really handy.
No, dude, it went
Yeah.
at the weekend. I did it at the party for a
Oh.
star sign and a name of someone they were thinking of.
That's good.
That's very
Oh,
good.
that's really good. Do you do any star sign revelations, David?
I use Cognito for star signs, and I also use Peter Turner's Progressive Anagram as well for the star sign, and they're the main ones I've done. I've learned a few other ones, but I always just tend to go back to
Have you ever done Olivia
815.
Bowes's one?
No, I don't know that one.
Oh, it's the best one. It's my favorite one. But it never really works on magicians. Oh, I'm so tempted to try it right now. But
I think
I'm.
you've tried it on the podcast before, maybe even like one of the last, maybe like 3 weeks ago, you did it on
Let me
me.
get a card. Let me get a card or something. I'm going to try it on you. This probably won't work on you, David, because I'll say this. The only people it doesn't work on are magicians, which is really annoying. But I remember being on a flight back from LA with Daniel Madison, and I was telling him about this. And to prove a point, we were sitting next to the solicitor on our way back to London, and we started doing magic for her. And I ended up doing this, and let me see. I'm probably going to butcher this. I hope not. I wrote Olivia messaged me last night, emailed me. But when you do the star signs, it's not like the tarot, is it? When it's like the French, you do the Romanian star signs.
The normal ones, like Pisces, Aquarius.
yeah. Okay. Cool. You can do those, right?
Yeah.
I actually don't know your star sign. Let me guess this. I can't spell it. I really can't spell this. but I'll leave it there. I actually don't know what your star sign is, David. Mm-hmm. But I want you to try and send it to me, which is ridiculous because I have a prediction here. you're not an Aquarius, are you?
No.
What are you?
Pisces.
That's why I wrote down Pisces.
Boom. Yeah, you really can't spell it.
Yeah, no, I wrote down Pisces. What is it? P-I-S-C-E-S?
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah, I wrote down P-E-C-E-S. Like prices.
Yeah. That's very clever.
The best way to use it is when you just do something else between the reveal.
Yeah.
Anything else in between the reveal. Like if you did tarot in between it, even better. I've had 1,000 miles out of this.
Yeah.
And no one ever figures it out. It's bizarre.
I think when we were in South Tyneside, I told you my favorite star sign revelation.
Oh, remind me, because this doesn't ring a bell.
It was just using Tinder.
Oh, yeah. Tell David what this is. Oh, do you mind sharing this?
No, I don't mind, because it's the stupidest thing in the world. But you set your, if you have a dating app profile and you set it to like the shortest possible radius, and just swipe through as many people as you can, there's going to be like one person in the room that you can find on there, and it'll tell you their name and their star sign and their favorite song.
Shake my wife will buy that as an excuse for having Tinder.
Listen, I've never had a dating app, so I couldn't use it. But I wonder if there's got to be something. There was a thing before that. Oh god, this moment's sort of passed and gone. But if you put somebody's mobile phone number to Facebook.
Yeah.
Not so much these days. But if you could just get somebody's mobile phone number, then you could at one point scrape a shitload of information from them.
Yeah.
Like loads and loads and loads. So I would do it with, I had an app called Cypher, which then you'd get someone to ring, you'd force your number, they'd ring you, then you'd have their number on your phone. This is a stranger off the street, then you copy and paste it into fucking Facebook, and then you'd now know anything you want to about them. And they would never have even told you their name.
Yeah, Facebook's my
favorite. I tried using Facebook before. I was in a stage show and had an event on Facebook to say if people were going. So I picked a few random people who said they were going to the show, and Facebook stalked them like crazy. I had their kids' star signs, their star signs, dogs' names, everything, and had a printout backstage that I was going over with their photo, and none of the people I picked showed up.
Oh, no.
I had 12 people like prepped and not one of them showed up to the show. I had to just call Reed.
I was talking with Lloyd about this maybe a few weeks ago. I was talking about doing a few gigs, and I was saying if I had a table to do, you know, some palmistry or tarot in between walk around, I'd have a sign up form on the table where people could put their full name to sign up, you know, their time slot they wanted, and just have an assistant or go off myself for a half hour break and look them all up on Facebook before doing any kind of reading.
LinkedIn can be quite handy if you're doing a company event. Ooh, you can look up the company on LinkedIn and get all the employees.
Yeah, just make sure you're not logged in so they don't see
who's
viewed their profile.
Have a fake LinkedIn.
I wonder actually if there's something there in that. If you had a website, right? I talked to the right man, David. Let's say you speak to the event organizer, say, look, part of my thing is that I do something which maybe you'd kind of have to let the organizer in this, right? But what it is essentially is an event register. It's a QR code on a sticker, and you say to the organizer, look, part of the thing I do involves that if you're comfortable doing that, I mean, I don't know, depending on what it is, they, you put the company logo on this website, changes every gig you do. They scan the QR code, they put in their information and just say, and it just says, oh, we're going to log you in, like a health and safety thing, right? Yeah. But that website is just something for you, not for the event. And it then tells you all the information they put in when they registered at the door. And it's just a QR code. And all you do is change it for every event, or even just type the name of the event, what it is you're going to, you know, Admiral in Car Insurance Staff Christmas Party Register. Hey guys, can you just register if you get a chance online or sign in online? And now you've got all this fucking information.
Eventbrite could be quite handy for people who buy tickets online as well, because you get all their email addresses straight over to Facebook.
Yeah, that's good actually.
At least then you know they're going, because they just did a Facebook event that anyone could just click going and that actually show up. But if they've bought tickets, I feel more confident getting their information and putting in the work.
Oh, that's true. There's something very old-fashioned about that in a way as well. That is almost like the psychic scam artists, yeah. The big Christian churches where, oh, you filled in all this information about every single ailment you have, and then you're surprised that the guy knows what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
It's like, you can use a registered event so it can bring your date of birth, your mother's maiden name, any pets you've had when they died. Just normal information. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Your favorite playing card.
Yeah. As just general, this is not a magic trick, we're fine.
Yeah, that's just the capture code to find out that you're human.
Yeah. Select your favorite playing characters.
Well, speaking of websites and stuff like this, you're actually very, very into making your own websites and apps, aren't you yourself, David?
Yeah, like I have a day job as, well, I'm a manager now of a web development team. So I made a few websites, there's a few fake ones online. There's one that people can have a look at. They won't be able to figure it out because it only works in my mind. It's called learntodraw.ie. So it looks like a daily random drawing image generator. So it's for people to learn to draw. But it's an alphabetical stack. But it's not alphabetical, if that makes sense. It's something I decided messing around with called a word association stack. So A is caterpillar, B is monkey.
Because a caterpillar eats an apple?
Yeah. Then B is monkey, C is litter, D is
Wait,
collar.
Test me on one, test me on one.
Metallic.
P?
G. S? It's a gate.
I'd say paint, metallic paint.
And then armor, you probably might be able to figure out.
H?
K, it's a knight. A knight and armor.
Knight. Yeah. Do one more.
Banana.
M for monkey.
Yeah. I flip B and M just to make it easier. And then coffee is the letter T, which is just... Who would know? But yeah, I think it's actually cappuccino because I wanted them to be longer and that sort of stuff. But I just sat down and just wrote out the... Because I like the alphabetical stack, but I don't like how obvious it is to other people. So I put together the word association alphabet stack. But like my own stack only works for me, really, because I never have to memorize it because it's the first thing that comes into my head when I think of it. But other people could do it quite easily, and you should have a stack of words that you can use. So I just converted them into drawings and have them show up in order.
Wait, so what happens? They go to this website, they look for a drawing.
Yeah, they go to a website and it's like your daily challenge is to draw this today. And then there's a button at the bottom that says random. So the first two are genuinely random. And then the third one is goes into the stack. So I can have them call it out. And then I know that I go, they're at P. So the next one would be Q. So that would be trophy. And go from there.
Oh, wait, so they can change their mind as many times as they want?
Yeah, yeah. So they can go like, so I go, just call out one, what is it? And they go, oh, it's a picture of a monkey. And the next one, oh, that's a cow. I'm like, cool, press it again. Are you happy with that one? Do you want to change your mind? And I'm just counting along in the alphabet with it. So I don't know. I just need to know how many times I press the button. I don't need to know the previous one was. They can go through it a few times.
That's great.
It's been something I'm messing around with. Some people are suspicious of it, but it can be a bit of fun of when you don't have anything on you. Just like, oh, Especially when, because there's things like Wordle and all these other daily challenge things, I was like, a daily challenge drawing thing kind of makes sense. And when I saw Learn to Draw was
Yeah, 365
available,
drawing challenge. Become an artist in a year if you've been following or
exactly.
something.
Yeah, and there's
But
exactly.
it's funny, you made me think of something about when you said that some people are suspicious about it. You know, we work so hard on making magic organic and making things that potentially could feel suspicious, making them we work hard to make them feel inconspicuous. And really, like, it's more, I think it says more about not in the bad way, but it's just the type of people that would find something like that suspicious are the type of people that probably find the pro type of people that are probably suspicious of you doing magic anyway. So you could have the most, like, I think the 10p 2p con unique is like the one of the most perfectly made props that I own. You know, I could show that to somebody, and if I you know, if they have a suspicious mind like Elvis, then they're going to think that's suspicious too. You know, maybe not. I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we work so hard and we think, oh, it's a shame they think it's suspicious, but really it's more about the person.
I think it's one of those things that works better casually. I've stopped doing it at like gigs and stuff because of that. But like casually, I go, like people can be talking about Wordle or something. I'm like, oh yeah, have you done Learn to Draw? I do that every day. And they're like, what is that? I'm like, oh, you haven't tried it? Everyone's talking about it. And just make it like as if they're out of the loop. But it's hard to manufacture that at like a table hopping gigging situation. But casually, it's quite easy.
Wow, that
That's
sounds
dope,
great.
man.
So you work, what would you just describe it as? Like, you're a web developer?
Yeah, so my official title currently is the web applications team lead. I sit in meetings all day and do carrot tricks to myself. But I'm a C sharp developer is by trade, and I just got over. So yeah, that's like the day job. So I did that, and then I did magic full time for a while, and then I missed money, so I went back to coding. So yeah, so me and my wife are looking at getting a house and stuff. So I was like, I'll go back, and I can get paid a lot more money quite easily. And especially with like working from home and stuff now, it's great freedom. As long as I don't have to go to office, I'm happy.
No, do you know what? There's something to be said about having a regular job so that magic doesn't be like so that your hobby doesn't become your work. So I've been through that in the past, and as much as it can be nice to say that, oh yeah, I do like magic full time, whatever, there is an element of taking the shine off it, you know, for yourself, and then you kind of lose a bit of love, not love, but you lose motivation for it, I think.
I love
You know,
performing when I want to. That's the sort of situation. Like I'm looking forward to, like I did a gig, and also I can charge what I want, and I don't have to be worried about like I'm not going to be undercutting people because I'm just desperate because I need to pay the bills this month. It's like I can charge what I want, and and I have holidays from work, so I take a half day tomorrow to go to Dublin to do the tarot reading gig and those sort of things. So and everybody at work knows what I do, so I tell them like I'm finishing early today because I've got to go do magic. They just find it fascinating, so it works out well.
Like the kid in school who gets to finish the lesson half an hour early to go and play trumpet. Everyone's like, oh man.
And like I'm the like my boss is an American. There's nobody above me in Ireland, so I can just do what I want, pretty much. Nobody's looking over my shoulder, especially when you're working from home and stuff like that. So it's like it works out all right. It's quite good. And as you're saying, it keeps the joy in magic. Because when I was doing it full time, I was doing kids' parties and stuff like that as well, because I just wanted money. And I'm just not a kids' entertainer. It's not my personality. It's not my I'm sarcastic and I swear a lot. So like that doesn't really translate to kids' magic. So it's
Your palms
difficult.
say you're not gonna fucking live long, little. So
Like
enjoy that.
we're gonna do tarot reading, kids. Come on over. It's like no, it doesn't really. So yeah, it's keep it the way it is.
When we've spoken in the past, David, you said something which really resonated with me because it's something that I like to do a lot, and that was I think you were saying
Abel.
when you, yeah, exactly, when you were spot on. When you were younger in university, you kind of embraced that whole living the magic
Yeah,
thing because you're into the casual social stuff as well, especially more so because you can pick and choose the gigs. It's the casual social stuff which you kind of live and breathe by.
I love that, especially like when I was like young and single in college, and like you're going out every like 3, 4 nights a week. I'd be with my friends for a while, and then I'd just vanish. And my favorite thing to be was to be like the mysterious stranger for these random people who,
Oh, yeah.
like I'd be with them for a few hours doing crazy stuff. Some of them not even magic, just being a bit mental. And then I just vanish, and they never see me again.
That's my
So it's like,
lifeblood, dude.
yeah, like I was doing the hand over the candle before. Like the Reg Ignis thing was even a trick. I just used to burn myself.
The
But
best
it's
way to
like
do
people
it.
like you can't. I was like, I can hold my hand over the candle longer than you, and then sometimes people do it for a
Like,
while.
yeah,
It's like,
well, I've
oh
got
god,
mummy
that's bad.
issues, so
Yeah.
what's
It's like I'm just gonna go get a drink, and then be like, can I get an ice cube, please? And just hold that in your hand for a few seconds, and then it's fine.
this? See, like, Lloyd and Sam were taking the piss out of me the other day when we were at the convention, because in the evening I like to run off and just find a random group of people to
I
chill with
don't
and
recall taking the piss out of you for this. I thought it was fucking
do.
badass.
But maybe Sam was. And I was like, yes, Sam, that's because you do like a residency every weekend and everything's got to be
What I do
as
remember
and
taking the
when.
piss out of was Sam, who, because, right, I went into a chicken shop at like 11:30 after convention. Jake stood outside looking out for BTGGs, and Sam came in, and we were in Newcastle, so you can imagine like Geordie lad, like Geordie men, fucking going to get a fucking kebab man. So I went in, it's like, hiya, can I get 4 pieces of chicken, some kebab meat and chips, please? I'm starving. And Sam came in, and he's only young, and he's like, oh, they've got Mr. Soft Whippy ice cream. And he's like, excuse me, the ice cream machine's still on. And I was like, fucking hell, we're gonna get killed. We're gonna get fucking killed. And he's there with his playing cards. And then I look out, and Jake was like, it reminded me of that scene from Only Fools and Horses where they run like in fancy dress. Jake, Del Boy was like, Jake had his long coat on, and he just like looked left, looked right, and then just like literally from the window ran, and his tails were like the last thing in the frame of the window that I could see. And then I looked, and he had spotted a group of girls, and he literally ran up to them and just started showing them like amazing mentalism.
What's
Like,
your opening line?
do you want to see a dead body?
oh, shit. Well, no, good question. How do you, when you run, I mean, you did actually start to run towards them, but I'm
Yeah,
guessing you
so
don't know.
when you phrase it like that, it does sound pretty bad that I run up to groups and get.
But like, what's the like the genuine question? Like, what is the line of that you say, girls, guys, no difference, but what do you say when you approach someone wanting to show them magic on the streets?
So I didn't approach them asking to show them magic that time. I literally had a fake line to get into a conversation with them, and I was asking them
Okay.
about what nightclubs were open.
Right. You're
Because
right,
I'm
girls are from Liverpool. Any nightclubs around here? Right, now
a
think of your favorite movie.
Also, just a clarification, we weren't in Newcastle because I think a few people got annoyed. We were in South Shields, South Tyneside. Not
Listen,
technically Newcastle.
they're lucky I was saying Newcastle, to be honest, because the amount of people that say to me that Wales is in England, what part of England is Wales in?
I get the same for Ireland, so like no,
you Northern Irish?
I'm literally as south as it can get. So
Okay,
li
South
literally
Irish.
at we're at the very we're at the very bottom of the country, so it's
What's the name of the town that you're in?
the city's Cork. And then I lived in a town called Clanmire, just outside Cork.
So we're probably like extremely close to each other in terms of like, isn't it? There's like a boat from Fishguard, isn't there, harbour?
There's Swansea to Fishguard. I used to get it quite a lot. I used to go
Swansea.
mobile homes in Wales for my summer holidays all the time growing up.
Nice. Have you ever been to Port Cole?
Not sure where we used to go. I just remember we used to have Bradley Bear doing all the kids' entertainment in the caravan parks. There was a tiger as well. Like, I can't remember who
Oh,
that
Savile.
was. We used to go to Key. I think we were in like Key West area for a while and that sort of stuff. But yeah, it was. We used to go over to Wales on the ferry, and then I remember one time it was a very rough crossing, and everyone was sick. And I went to see. There was a cinema on the ferry because it was this slow one. And they were showing Flubber, And that is not the movie you want to watch when, like, you're motion sickness and it's just like this flubbery thing on the screen. And then I was sitting three rows in from the aisle and hit a wave and ended up on the aisle. That's him.
Jake's holding up a picture of a cartoon tiger in a Gaelic tiger costume. Where is that, Jake?
That's Rory the Tiger in Haven. Rory.
Yeah, Haven Holidays. Because then Bradley Bear was in the other one then. So
yeah.
Where's he from? Was he Butlins or something?
There was a.
I can't remember where Bradley Bear was from.
It's all the holidays.
I didn't have any holidays growing up, but the ones that I did go on, we would go to the Butlins, which is with my grandmother. And I have two main memories. The first one, well, there's three. The first two are seeing A, Dave Benson Phillips, and B, Timmy Mallett live. I'm going crazy. But the main one I have, and it's a recurrent thing that happens, is that my grandmother in her old Welsh voice say, "Go down there and get the cutlery." So after we'd had dinner at the big open like food hall, I'd have to go and steal all the cutlery and the cups and the tea plates, and she'd put them in her handbag, even the dirty ones. And then, yeah, she'd pinch it all because she was just like, yeah, you know, we were from poverty. So she'd pinch all the cutlery and the plates and we'd take it back to Wales and then we'd eat food for the next like few years and then she'd say Butlins on the cutlery.
And that's how you started metal bending.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'd get slapped if I bent a fork in my house growing up.
I had that actually with Steve, who was in the Stevie Alley podcast with. He we went to the lads convention in Birmingham when the Word Magic Shop were doing that. And Morgan Shepler was over, who Steve knows quite well.
I went to that one.
Oh, I thought you were there. He gave us a load of forks and we were flying home. So we're going through the security and they were like, "Why did you have a cutlery set in your carry-on luggage?" And we're like, "It's just forks." Like, "What do you mean it's just forks?" And like, "There's no knives." Like, "No, there's no knives. It's 150 forks." And they were like the weirdest sort of security questions we've ever had. But yeah, I was at that one. Those are good one day conventions.
Was it Morgan Strebler and or was it I went to two, I think. The other one was Nicholas Lawrence came over.
Yeah, I remember Nicholas Lawrence was over there as well. Yeah, I was at that one.
Did you go to that one?
Yeah. Because I remember he was doing the finger off trick there before it was like properly out, and it was like I was losing my mind.
Yeah, that was incredible. That was a great convention.
Have you got any conventions coming up soon, David?
We have the Midwest Magic Convention in Ireland coming up next month.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. I think is it on the same day as your kid's birthday, Lloyd?
It's literally over. My kid's birthday is the 19th. I think the convention's the like 18th or the 20th or 17th or the 19th or something.
Yeah, it's that weekend. And like, as I said to Lloyd, what a better gift than for your birthday than coming to the trip to the west coast of Ireland.
Surprise! You're spending the weekend on your own while I do tricks again.
Literally, the Cliffs of Moher are like very close to where convention is. And that's like our biggest tourist attraction. So.
Oh,
just go look at the cliffs.
I really want to go, but I just don't know if I can justify it.
Yeah, it should be good because there's some good acts coming and gala shows and stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
I really want to go.
I've never been to Ireland, but yeah, I can't miss my kid's birthday. I'd get crucified.
looking forward to that now, and then we've got besides that, it's Blackpool. But I'm going to try and get over to the UK more next year and get to a few conventions and see, because there's so much conventions going on all the time. It's just trying to find places that Ryanair fly to so it's not too expensive.
Yeah, I think Ryanair, are they still doing, like I was just saying, like Cardiff Airport for me, like Ryanair have stopped doing a lot. I think they're moving all their stuff to Bristol Airport, which is an extra hour. Plus drive.
Yeah, because we've got Dublin Airport, which Ryanair do a lot, and then Cork Airport, which is near me, but Aer Lingus do that. And it's like, oh, you can fly with Ryanair for €20, or you can fly with Aer Lingus for €150.
Yeah.
Like...
Wait, what's the closest airport for you? Is it Cork?
Yeah, Cork Airport.
We should probably talk a little bit more about magic, to be honest, though.
Magic and airplanes.
Okay. Well, before we stop talking about that, then it's the London Magic Convention very, very soon. If anyone's coming, message the Black Art Instagram or my Instagram, and we can meet up and jam.
Oh yeah, I don't think I'm going to go to that. You know, I've been thinking long and hard about it, but
I know you bastard. Every time I message you, you ignore me.
Well, I do this thing where I think about it heavily up until the last minute, and then I'll decide. But
I was
I
like,
don't know.
It's my birthday trip. I'd really love you to come, Lloyd. Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Oh, yay.
South Shields was your birthday trip.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
No, but this is actually at my birthday.
Oh, what? So you're having two? Oh, you're like my wife. My wife had three hen do's. I had no stag. Yeah, it's one of those things now. It's modern era. I don't want anything for my birthday.
I just wanted friendship, that's all.
I start writing out what magic tricks I want for my birthday about a month and a half before my birthday. I was like, there you go, wife.
What tricks are you asking for this year?
I'm not sure. It'll be after Blackpool this year, but I started looking through the Christmas stuff, all right, because I'm like, what do I want for Christmas? I have to look. There's some stuff I was looking at. The burn thing by Daniel Madison, I think, looks cool. I mean, that'll be...
I mentioned that this morning on the Magic podcast with Craig. I mentioned it's one of the best tricks ever. It's funny you said that.
Yeah, I think that looks good. I think I'm getting Iceberg as well, because I've literally had Iceberg in my character a few times, and then it's gone over my budget, and it's the thing that's lost a few times, but I'm like, I know I want it, but it's just like these other things, beat it out a few times. So yeah, it's a couple of things like that, and a couple of books I might look at. I got my second copy of the Derren Brown book recently, just to... So I was like, I'm going to start highlighting and putting post-it notes in one of them, so I don't want to destroy my only copy.
Have you? I started reading one, and then I went to Miami, and I haven't got around to finish it. Have you read it all?
Yeah, I couldn't put it down. It was. I still think it's my favorite book of any genre that I've read. It's one of those things that I can see myself coming back to reading every year as the like just for motivation and thinking about stuff, because it's just it's like. I was like so hyped reading it. I mean, like, oh my God, that's perfect. Let's go that. And just even just the story of being on tour and backstage and that sort of stuff is brilliant. It's just, and the way it's written as well, it's like Darren's talking to you rather than writing a book.
Yeah. I got to the Beatlebox section, I think.
Yeah,
I'm not that far. It's such a nice way of reading it. Yeah,
so I was reading it's the chapters as well, great, because they're so short. It's like three pages as a chapter. And so it's very easy to just like, oh, I have 5 minutes there, I'll read a chapter and put it down rather than being another thing. Because that's one of the books, and the other book I'm trying to go through at the moment is the Psychology of Magic book. But it can be quite heavy in parts. So I'm like, I'll be reading it for a while. I'm like, I need a break.
There's some interesting thing. Go on, Lloyd. No, please carry on.
I was just going to say, speaking of things that we're looking forward to or putting on our lists, are you allowed to talk at all about anything coming up soon, David?
I can't say much about it, but I do have something that's coming out soon. So I've got a release coming out with the 1914. So it's going to be a digital download. So no shipping costs for people. But yeah, it's coming out. It's something that I've been performing for over 10 years. I was trying to come up with like when I invented it, and I was like coming back being like, I definitely did it then, and I never did it. So I came to over 10 years. What I can say, it revolves pin codes in it, and it's called Coda. So it should be coming out soon, and it's more of a utility than anything. So I'm excited to have it out there and see what other people can do, because I've been talking to a few people who've seen it, and they've already sent me ideas that I didn't even think about. It's like, oh my God, yeah. So I'm really looking forward to getting out, and it was great to work with like the 1914, get all their stuff. I was like, it'll be good because I have all their other products. So I need time to do something there. It was weird walking into the studio that I've seen so many times myself, watching their instructions. So
fanboying, fangirling. Have you got any other releases out?
No, I don't have anything else. This would be my first release. So I have a few other things that I'm working through, but nothing's like ready yet. So it's always interesting, the things that you think are going to be like, oh, this is something that's really cool, and you show it to people like, oh, that's good, and then the other things where it's like, this is just something I do, and people lose their mind about it. So it's really hard to know that like other people are interested in that sort of stuff. So like, I have a few apps that I've developed myself as well that I have on my phone that I'm
you've
improving.
Showed me two of them.
Yeah, it's I've made a few updates. So I had that Blackpool last year, and I was working on it. I've made a few updates to it since, so I can do a real-time prediction of anything, which is cool.
I haven't seen that.
That's a new addition to it. So then I have a fun little thing that's a tic-tac-toe app that it does the tic-tac-toe first. So the person play against artificial intelligence as it looks, but it always forces the outcome, which is can be a fun game to play.
I love the
Kind of
sound
want
of
to
that, man.
like end the podcast and look at all these ideas you got right now.
I have a book test thing as well that I'm currently setting up. It's like a it's not anywhere a book test, but
don't
talk
go
about
don't
it.
give away all your
I won't.
trade
Yeah, I won't
secrets.
talk about anything about that yet because it's still a work in progress.
I think
Well,
anyone who's listened to this so far will understand that the kind of style of magic and mentalism that you put out, and I'm pretty sure are gonna want to pick up this when it comes out.
yeah, I hope hopefully people will like it because it's something that like it's one of those things that when I was like I know about something and it was gonna be my first release, I was like it has to be something that like I know I do. So it's
Yeah.
something like I've been performing for 10 years, so it's like I know what works, I know what inside out. So
I've
I
been
think that's an easy way.
privy enough to have a little look parts of it, and as always, I always skip to the live performances, and they're fucking butter. Like it really hypes me on it. They're sick. It's so good, and it makes. I'm not gonna say what the effect is, but it like it makes so much sense. And you, when I first said, I was like, oh yeah, that makes yeah, of course. And they just do it, and they don't even think about it. You know, I can't explain it out loud. And then they're like, what the fuck? Oh, it's really good. It's really, really good.
Yeah, got some good reactions from people as well, which is really nice to see. Because like you're out performing for people, and it's that whole thing of filming performances as well is so different to like normal performance because you're trying to play to the camera and play to the people. You've got all these new things in your head that you're not used to thinking about when you're just performing for people, and
There's also
even
things to
just
be
being
said as well.
sarcastic and stuff in my performances. I tend to think I can be a bit quite jokey with the spectators and that sort of stuff. So I was trying to like get it all right.
Well, the other thing as well, people clam up on camera. So to get good reactions on camera, it normally means the effect is better than the average effect because the average person thinks that they're going to be pranked or they don't want to be themselves. So the reactions you've got are so good, and that's where them having a camera in their face in Britain. Well,
Yeah,
usually
the
people don't react
first
to
person I was
Americans.
performing to was not like the footpath beside the road, and the person started walking away throughout the performance, and I was like following them into the middle of the road, just like why are you walking away? Come back.
On that note, we're well over the 45-minute mark. We try to keep these as tight as possible. I think this is a perfect time to tell people where can they find you, David?
Yes, you can find me. I'm at David Peace Magic pretty much everywhere, and then I also have the Steve Reality YouTube channel and Instagram, where we have some historic podcasts that we shot during the pandemic and beyond. So we have interviews with people like Lloyd and Craig, and we've had Mike Lamar was like our first interview ever, which was mental. And
Bloody hell.
there's Daniel Garcia, there's loads of other people, pretty much all the magicians who were sitting home doing nothing during the pandemic were kind enough to come chat to us. So we've all them up. There's like 66 episodes, something like that there for people to check out as well. So, and there's some product reviews as well.
And how do you spell David Peace? It's
Yeah.
BAV one.
Yeah, it's a BAVIDPEACE, as in peace and love. So it's funny
Peace.
how it came up that name. It's like my name isn't Peace, it's Sheehan. But there's another magician in my local area called Liam Sheehan, who's a good bit older than me. So people used to think I was his kid when I was out performing at 18 and stuff. So I changed my name. So Sheehan in Irish is Shia Conn, which means peace. So I just translated my name
Oh.
into Irish and then back into English, and I went from there. So
Love
yeah,
that.
all the police in Ireland are An Garda Síochána Conn, which is the guardians of the peace. So like my literal surname is the name of our police.
I feel like I should have a stage name now.
Yeah, I've got a
Yeah.
stage name. You've got everyone.
Is
But to make
yours,
it,
yeah, go
I
on.
had DP put on a hoodie as my initials, and then my friend all lost their shit and laughing when they realized that I was walking over DP on me.
I'm DP and I'm good with my hands and getting
Yeah,
inside your face.
it's like it does make logos a bit more difficult, but it's my name now, so I'm stuck with it.
It. I think it's a good name, DP. Yeah.
It's what my wife knew me as David Peace for ages, and then when we were dating, and then one day she's like, "Is that your actual name?" I was like, "Oh my gosh, no, it's
That's so good.
Wait, so has your wife taken your stage name as her name?
No, she's an independent business person trading as her own
Hell
name,
yeah.
so she couldn't do anything. But she uses she uses my real name when she has to.
Love it.
Trying to think
Yeah.
what would my stage name be? Go on the blackartco.com or go to the Facebook group and comment some suggested stage names for me and Jake.
Yeah, you do know all your stage names are going to be to do with a certain animal.
Oh yeah. Sheep shuffles. The sheep
Yeah.
shuffler.
Lloyd
Shuffles the sheep.
Band.
Ah.
Woolly the woolly shuffles. Woolly
Just
tricks.
sounds like a predator from the 70s.
Who would you just say then, David? Was it abracadabra?
Lloyd Band.
Oh, fucking hell. Right, on that note, guys, thank you all so much for tuning in. A massive thank you to our special guest, David. This has
Thanks for
been the
having me.
most entertaining podcast ever. And I've had my tarot and my palms read. This has been great.
Yeah,
Yeah,
man.
massive
31
thank you.
episodes in the bag.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't say which episode number it was, so 31.
Hell yeah. And thank you for doing this short notice. We were just literally talking about David, and I was talking to David. I was like, hey, we're going to record the podcast. Will you come on? You said yes, and this turned out to be the most entertaining one so far. So thank you so much, David.
Great. Thanks
Good
for having
luck
me.
with your new release. And we'll see, or we'll our listeners will hear from us next week. Same time, same place. Well, roughly
Unless
the
we're
same
late
time.
again.
Unless we're like a few hours late. This episode was supposed to go out today, 5 p.m. It's now 6:30 and we're still recording it. So it'll be up in like an hour.
Soon as I've finished making a thumbnail.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you all so much. I need to play the outro music now and I have to share the screen again. Okay, here we go. Y'all ready for this? Three, two,
Bye,
one. Bye,
everyone.
everyone.
See ya.